And now, young Widow Brown. Evan Brown has just learned of the heartbreaking problem confronting Dr. Allison Shaw, the lovely young woman surgeon who saved Evan's life, and that Jim Morrison, the man responsible for that heartbreak, has followed Allison to Simpsonville. Now, while Evan's fiancé, Dr. Anthony Loring, is about to meet Jim at the local hotel, Allison is in Evan's living room, saying tremulously,
"I offered to resign from the staff that helped in the hospital, Alex. I offered the moment I knew that Jim Morrison was here, he followed me. I offered Anthony my resignation."
"What did Anthony say, Allison?"
"He said it was no solution. I don't think it is either. Actually, Anthony has given someone a vacation on the strength of your being at Hope Center Hospital for the summer. I think that, aside from everything else, it would be rather inconvenient for him if he left."
"Ellen, aren't you sorry I came here?"
"How could I be sorry you came, Allison? After all, if you hadn't gone to Simpsonville, I might not be alive. You're paying dearly for anything you did for me.
Let's take it all out of the payment and debt side, Allison. Let's just try to work out the situation as best we can."
"Ellen?"
"Yes?"
"Can't you listen to you?"
"Who, Anthony?"
"No, Jim. Perhaps you could make him see that I can't go on having you torture me like this, following you, clinging to me."
"But, Allison..."
"Ellen, you're so wise. He would listen to you, Ellen."
"But what would I say to him, Allison? What could I say to him?"
"I don't know."
"You don't love him anymore, Allison. Is that it? Is that what you want him to know?"
"Yes. Yes, tell him that."
"Allison, that's really asking a great deal. Not of me, but of Jim. At least do him the honor, perhaps. Pay him the respect
that..." "He deserves no honor. No respect, Ellen. I want to hurt him. I want to pay him back for all he's made me suffer.
We only want to hurt the person we love most. We only want to be cruel to them. The others, the ones who are unimportant, we never hurt."
"You never know, Ellen."
"No, I guess I don't."
"You and Anthony with your smooth-running lives. Anthony with his great conscience and sense of duty and dignity. You with the security you enjoy from having a good man in love with you. A kind
but
man."
"Allison,
neither one of you knows the nights of terror, the sleepless nights, the fears, the despair. Things like that don't touch people like you."
"Allison, you're so disturbed you don't know what you're saying."
"I'm sorry. You're right. I had no right at all to say something like that to you. Forgive me."
"It doesn't matter."
"Yes, it does. Give you a glimpse of what I'm like. How foolish I am. How dreadful I can be. It tells you
it
that.
It tells me that you're letting yourself go. That you've divided yourself into two people. The strong, able doctor and the indecisive woman. The person who so desperately needs self-discipline. And I don't help you at all if I take on your responsibility. If I assume the responsibility of telling this man you no longer love him."
"Ellen, when I see him, he casts a kind of spell over me. I pity him. I tell him nothing. I'm completely at his mercy. Did he make a fool of me? An utter fool,
if need be. Unless
what, Ellen?
Unless you're wrong about the whole thing. Unless you're lying to yourself. Unless you are in love with this man."
"No, no, I'm not. I know now for the first time that I'm not."
"Then I should think the spell would no longer exist. If you are so sure, I feel that if you see this man, you won't be under the spell of pity or of anything else. I think you'll find yourself free."
Perhaps it's true.
"But you have to try it, Anthony. You have to try it, too. You have to go to him and see."
And at the local hotel, Dr. Anthony Loring has waited until the manager leaves Jim Morrison's room. Now, after the door closes, Jim Morrison says,
"So you're Dr. Loring?"
"Yes, Mr. Morrison.
The chambermaid said you were the one who's taken me out.
I gave you temporary relief, but you didn't spit me out."
"Why the differentiation?"
"Isn't it rather obvious? Doctors can't straighten you out permanently."
"He does.
God.
If you're saying that in a spirit of mockery, I won't answer the question."
"You're a man of science."
"All the more reason why I believe in Doc. And I don't like idle references to him."
"I beg your pardon. Not much of a character, but I can respect other people's feelings.
I must have been pretty much of a mess when you saw me."
"Yes, Mr. Morrison, tragically so."
"I'm a drunkard, let's say so."
"I do. I have. But have you?"
"What do you mean, Mr. Morrison?"
"I think you're kidding yourself. I think you really believe that you can handle grip. And so, when you discover you can't, you give out for this bravado."
"You're pouring quite a lot to me, my friend."
"And it isn't liquor, either. It doesn't dull the brain, what I'm pouring to you. It might just stimulated a little.
Go on, Dr. Lund. I honestly think that you and people like you are a little surprised when they discover that they've made a fairly unpleasant exhibition of themselves. You're amazed. You have a strange confidence that it won't happen again. But next time, you'll stop at that one drink that's the wrong one.
Only we don't.
You can't. You've poisoned yourself with the first one.
Well, that's very interesting.
But not much fun to listen to. Now then, Mr. Morrison, I'm here not to make you any better, because I can't. I'm here for another reason entirely, and I'd like to get it straight with you.
Well?
I know what brought you here, or rather, who brought you here. Dr. Allison Shaw is a temporary member of my staff at Health Center Hospital. And I want it made very clear that I won't tolerate any scenes there involving you.
Well, you're a man of action, Dr. Loring. You're a man of great simplicity, I'd say.
Yes.
What has Allison told you about me?
Not a great deal, other than the fact that you drink too much, that you and she have been married twice, divorced twice, that things don't seem to work out well for you. She's a very brilliant young woman, Mr. Morrison. She has great contribution to make in her field. And because she is so brilliant and such an earnest worker, it would seem she deserves some kind of peace in her private life.
Strange. Everyone tells me that.
Oh, you've heard it before.
Allison is a popular young woman as well as a brilliant young woman, Dr. Loring. She appeals to the sympathy of men in her field who look at me and say, what a pity.
I think I know where this is going to lead. I wonder if I haven't made a mistake talking to you about it.
I wonder if the old business of there being two sides to every story ever occurred to you, Dr. Loring. I wonder how you'd react being married to a saint. Are you married?
No.
So that every mistake you make is magnified? The little woman is so noble. What a pity she has to endure all this. Sometimes it drives a man to drink.
Only if they've taken half the journey themselves, Mr. Morrison.
You're an intolerant person, Dr. Loring.
Sometimes it's a good quality, intolerance. Sometimes being tolerant is merely being indecisive. A fault I'd say Allison Shaw possesses. However, since we're pursuing this theme, suppose I merely sum up the situation as I know it, as it affects me. Because, besides being intolerant, I'm selfish in some respects. Such as being very jealous of the smooth-running efficiency of my hospital.
No babbles, no sobbing scenes in the steps of the building.
Anywhere in the community.
Yes,
I do. The confidence of the community in my hospital has been built up by the efficiency and dignity and moral stature of my staff. I don't intend to allow you to hurt it in any way.
I don't have much to say to that. Nothing at all, in fact. Sure, Dr. Loring is so right. But could you tell me why, now, without a drink in me, I subscribe wholeheartedly to what you say? And later today, after I've started out on what should be a completely convivial evening, I should become a spineless, objectionable mess.
The answer is very obvious. You haven't told yourself yet that you can't drink. Do that just once, Mr. Morrison, and see how it feels.
It's so simple, isn't it?
To you.
Yes. You've never written a contract with the devil. That's why the old stories about the boys who signed up with the devil signed up with evil, remember? Sold their souls or their shadows to the spirits of darkness. Well, I sold my soul to the spirit, however. But I don't get it back any more than they did.
You're wrong. They got their souls back.
How?
By paying for them. In honest coin, not in promises diluted with tears, not in promises keyed to an emotional scene designed to rouse the maternal in a woman. One of the lowest ways of getting a woman to do what you want that I know of.
You know, again, I say you're pouring it through me, Dr. Loring.
You can take it. This kind of brew is no poison, my friend. This is really good stuff that I'm giving you, chock full of character vitamins, loaded with a challenge to what appears to be a pretty good brain.
I'll see, Allison, won't I? Your laws at the moment don't forbid that, sir.
No, Miss Morrison, of course not.
How is she? How does she look?
Very well.
Old Dr. Humphrey and his wife kept her from me, you know.
I don't blame them. But it didn't work. That's the only reason I'm not doing what they did.
When may I see Allison?
Any time at all. Telephone her at the hospital, or... Oh, no, she's not there. I know where she is, though. She's with my fiancé.
Well, can I reach her there in that way?
Yes. Hand me the telephone, Mr. Morrison. I'll get the number for you.
What will happen when Jim Morrison's voice is heard on the telephone in the home of young Widder Brown?